Hello there. My name is Johnny. I am here to guide you through Eastbourne. I have reason to believe that you are in Eastbourne or on your way to it, seeing as you're listening to this audio guide. This audio guide goes hand in hand with the reader chapter, the reader you have been provided with. I am here to guide you to all the places in the reader, give you some additional information about it, and some fun facts about Eastbourne as well. To effectively give you directions, I need to know where you are. That's why I would like to ask you to go to the Eastbourne Pier. The Eastbourne Pier is that big thing by the sea. You cannot miss it. And if you're at the sea and you cannot see the Eastbourne Pier, either you're in the wrong town or you need to open your eyes. Please go to the landward side of the pier, and when you are ready, continue with this audio guide. The Eastbourne Pier is the first and one of the most famous attractions Eastbourne has to offer. The pier is 300 meters long and was built in 1872. As you walk along it, you might notice a drop. This is due to a storm in 1877, which swept away half the pier. This half was then rebuilt a little higher and has been holding out ever since. On this pier you can find food places, an arcade, a bar and a nightclub, so if you want to visit any of these places or you just want to enjoy the atmosphere, feel free to take your time. I promise I won't run away. When you are ready, you can go back to the entrance of the pier and I will lead you to the Borough Market past the Carpet Gardens. With the pier behind you, you can now turn left and already walk past the Carpet Gardens. These flower beds change display depending on the season and contribute to the elegant seafront Eastbourne offers. In World War II they weren't as pretty though, as they had been dug up to grow onions instead. In fact, the entire seafront was closed and barbed wire along with tank traps were laid down to prepare for a German invasion. At the end of the Carpet Gardens, you could turn right onto Terminus Road, where you should already see the Borough Market. If you want to follow the seaside, you will soon see the famous Eastbourne Bandstand on the left, where they play Tchaikovsky's Overture every Wednesday evening. It sounds something like this. This event is accompanied by fireworks every single time. So if you live in Eastbourne, you get a fireworks show every week. With fireworks, it would be more like this. If you want the full experience, go to the event, get your own fireworks, or if you want to see bright lights and stars, just bang your head as hard as you can against the next hard object. If you choose to follow Terminus Road and walk along the Borough Market, you'll eventually end up in the town center, next to the Arndale Center and near the railway station. Continue with this audio guide once you have passed the market and arrived in the town center. On your right, you should find the Arndale Center now. It offers more than 70 shops, so feel free to spend as much time there as you want. The next shopping center is a bit further down the road on the right. You should see a parking lot at the Enterprise Center, a less traditional shopping center. Once you are done shopping in the centers, go back to the roundabout near the railway station and take the first exit onto Grove Road. This will take you right into the shopping and dining quarter of Eastbourne called Little Chelsea. You can explore it by following Grove Road and taking a left at the church onto South Street. Oh, and did you know? 2 world records have been set in Eastbourne. In 2012, in Eastbourne, Lindsay Morrison became the 351st person to walk across 2 meters of hot coals. Her technique was to bounce herself over the coals like a person juggling a hot potato would. The other racket was set in 2012 by a group of 28 gym girls from Eastbourne who, in just 18 minutes, managed to cram themselves into a modern mini. They broke their own record of 27 people they had set the year before. If you follow the road, you will eventually come to a roundabout. You can turn right here and find the How We Lived Then Museum, also known as the Museum of Shops, a museum located at Cornfield Terrace that stretches over 4 floors and offers a trip back in time with over 100,000 old-fashioned exhibits and authentic room settings. It also contains a great gift shop, so if you don't have any souvenirs yet, why not take a look? If you want, you can now go back to the seaside and the Eastbourne Pier, where every hour from 10:25 till 6:25, the bus 13 starts. This bus can take you right to another landmark Eastbourne is famous for, Beachy Head. Beachy Head is a 162 meters high chalk sea cliff, in fact, the highest in Britain. If you are a bit superstitious, you might find it very interesting that the number 13 is very present in Eastbourne's history. Bus 13 takes you to Beachy Head, where artifacts from the practice of witchcraft have been found, which all bore the Roman numerals for the number 13. Out of the 15 national parks in the UK, the South Downs, Beachy Head is, of course, number 13. And Harry Ward, the Lone Ranger, served for 13 years at Beachy Head, patrolling the cliffs for suicide jumpers. Suicide jumpers are a big issue at Beachy Head. In fact, Beachy Head is the second most common spot for suicide attempts. In February 2004, 4 bodies were discovered at the foot of Beachy Head in just 5 days. The survivor figure of jumpers is a mere 5%, and in order to decrease the number of jumpers, a telephone box was installed at Beachy Head, providing numbers for the Samaritans and the National Helpline. Staff working around Beachy Head are also always on the lookout for people who seem suicidal. Especially the bartenders at the pub atop Beachy Head have to be on the lookout. One area of grass is worn down atop Beachy Head, where visitors look over the edge. This is a popular spot for suicide jumpers, and the British, showing off their dark sense of humour, named this patch the Launch Pad. But Beachy Head is not only famous for that. It has also featured in many films, the most famous one being Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. One of the Quidditch scenes was shot here. Back in Eastbourne, you can find some more attractions on the seaside. One of them being the Grand Hotel, also known as the White Palace, a Victorian 5-star hotel located on King Edward's Parade. During the war, the Royal Air Forces stayed here, and Hitler ordered that, in the many raids on Eastbourne, the Grand Hotel was not to be bombed, in case he wanted to stay there after conquering the town. If you follow the sea north, you will eventually find Redoubt Fortress. On the parade grounds and gun platforms, you have a great view, you can take pictures, and all of it free of charge. You can also visit the military museum, located in the fortress for just a small fee. Here you can find 3 interesting military collections to take you back as far as 1702. A bit past Redoubt Fortress, you can find the beautiful Prince's Park. Central to it is a large artificial lake where model yachts and powerboats are often raised. This was my guide to Eastbourne. You can find many more interesting places to visit and read, and maybe you can discover some yourself. One last fun fact about Eastbourne. The pinnacle east of the Beachy Head Lighthouse is named Devil's Chimney. The Victorian occultist, Aleister Crowley, predicted that if the chimney ever fell, Eastbourne would perish. In 2001, the Devil's Chimney came crashing down, and in order to save Eastbourne from almost certain doom, a coven of local witches descended on Beachy Head and ritually cleansed the area. Thank you for listening, and enjoy your stay in Eastbourne.